to the book of Exodus. Just something I was kind of thinking about. I studied Revelation. And then I was thinking about the plagues that we read of against Pharaoh and the Egyptians. So just something I thought about. And I'm always looking for a devotional thought for Wednesdays and what have you. You know, we read about verses about God hardening the heart of Pharaoh. And believe it or not, that troubles a lot of people, by the way. That's one of the things, you know, when someone's looking for an excuse not to seek the God of the Bible, this is one of those areas. Well, God hardened his heart. You know, we must not have free will if God just hardens the hearts of individuals. But I want us to think about something here and kind of just chew on some things here for our devotional. Exodus 4 to 14, you're going to read about 19 different references concerning the hardening heart of Pharaoh. 19. And, you know, three of those, by the way, talk about Pharaoh hardening his own heart. And then you have about six of those that simply say Pharaoh's heart was hardened. It doesn't indicate, you know, who did the hardening, him or God. Then you have 10 instances out of those 19 where it says God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And for example, here in chapter 4, verse 21 says that God will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let the people go. Now, if you just read that in isolation here, it sounds like it's God, not Pharaoh, who's really responsible for not letting the Israelites go. Now, how can that be fair to Pharaoh? And so I just want to offer you three quick things here real quick to understand this a little bit better. Then we're going to end with a question. And I want this running through your mind. You see, the hardening of the heart, Hebrews 3:13, comes from the deceitfulness of sin. So understand that is the source of our hearts being hardened, the deceitfulness of sin. So first of all here, to help better understand these verses, we need to look at it in its broader context. Right before Moses ever goes back to Egypt, God tells him what's going to happen, speaking out of the burning bush. Chapter 3, God says, "But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless compelled by a mighty hand." And I think that's key to understand everything that follows. Right? Pharaoh is not going to let Israel go unless God compels him by force. Right? That's because Pharaoh's heart is already in a state of rebellion. Right, long before Moses coming to him, right? So he's not an innocent bystander, right? His heart isn't neutral. In fact, Pharaoh thinks of himself as God, right? He thinks he's the incarnation of Horus, Egyptian god. So Pharaoh's not going to listen to a bunch of Hebrew slaves or their god. But secondly, the account of Pharaoh and the Exodus has a greater purpose while reading this, right? If you're asking, does God want Pharaoh to let the Israelites go or not? Right? If he does, why does he keep hardening Pharaoh's heart? And so the tension isn't really resolved unless you understand God's greater purpose for all of these events here. Right? God isn't just merely freeing the Israelites from slavery. God isn't merely judging Egypt for their wickedness. Right? He's doing both of those, but there's something else going on. And third here, back in Exodus 5, verse 2, we see that Pharaoh, he's arrogantly asking, who is Yahweh? Right? Who is God? Who is the Lord? Right? Who is Yahweh that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know any Yahweh. Right? So what follows is God's decisive response to these questions. In chapter 9, God tells Pharaoh just straight up, "But for this purpose I raised you up to show you my power so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." So in other words, God's saying, when I'm done with you, Pharaoh, not only will you know who I am, but the whole world's going to know who I am. So it appears that there's a larger purpose using Israel's deliverance. It's a picture of redemption for us today, right? God's reputation is going to be greatly enhanced. So by prolonging Egypt's judgment through all of this, God displays his power for everyone to see, right? And it works so well, Rahab is going to be talking about it in Jericho about just over 40 years from this, right? It's such a powerful story. We're still talking about it today, aren't we? And so what's the takeaway from this? Well, the takeaway shouldn't be poor Pharaoh. The takeaway should be, don't be like Pharaoh. That's the takeaway, right? Pharaoh resisted God and deserved God's punishment before God ever hardened his heart. And this resisting isn't just a Pharaoh problem. It's a people problem. It's an us problem if we're not careful. And so here's my question we're going to end on, then offer the Lord's invitation. Are you resisting God and hardening your heart toward him? If you are, it's not God's fault, right? That's you. That's allowing the deceitfulness of sin to harden your heart. And that happens in many different ways, I think. One way is, I don't need God. Another way is, who is this God, this Yahweh, to tell me what to do? I got it handled. I don't need God. Right, many different ways, deceitfulness of sin. So are you hardening your heart? If you have hardened your heart in the past and you're admitting that, you've never obeyed the gospel, you've been convicted in your heart, you've been cut to the heart, like all those folks in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, now you're saying, you know, what do I do? Well, the answer is repent and be baptized for the removal, the remission of your sins. Right? That's what you need to do. If you've done that, and along the way you lost your way, you found yourself hardening your heart, you're ready to be reconciled, you admit that, you want to take care of that, we'd love to help you there also. So if you have any need this evening, please let someone know as we stand, as we sing.